Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm just going to warn you ahead of time, this is going to be exhausting. You are going to be mentally exhausted after you go through this podcast, although it's one of our shorter shows. That's because Jennifer Young is a whirlwind of ideas and energy. And these things come together to produce a team that in one of the most competitive markets in these United States, in Washington, D.C., you do between 500 and 600 units per year. We're going to unpack the 33-touch system that she uses, the monthly seller seminar that she uses, and her best practices by which she converts these leads. And we are going to go fast, and it is going to be tactical. Friends, buckle up. This is Jennifer Young. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. How's it going?
It is fantastic. Now, you are perched comfortably in our nation's capital, hanging out in D.C., and you all absolutely crush it. I mean, we're talking 400, 500 units per year, 250, 300 plus million per year. It is astounding what y'all have built, but nobody starts quite that successful. So I want you to take us all the way back. How did you find the greatest industry in the world?
It sure is, isn't it? I was the first in my family to go to college. I went to college at JMU, go Dukes. And during college, where I had to work and fund my own way through college, which was a great learning experience, I had this awesome woman broker teacher at night who taught a real estate class. And I was so inspired by her because she sold, she invested, she was a broker. And I was like, this woman's got it going on. I want to do that. I come from a very entrepreneurial family. My father owned a bicycle shop. I only knew small businesses in my family. And so I was really inspired by her and immediately got my real estate license my senior year. And I had worked with a company, Bob and Carrie Andrews, who were featured in the first Millionaire Real Estate Agent book here in Northern Virginia, and just cut my teeth on their team, being a runner, an admin assistant during college breaks. And then when I graduated, I was broke as a joke. And so a couple of days later, they hired me full time and I was their full time runner, listing manager, things like that. So that's how I started. And it was the best education in the world. And I think I became a big believer in teams because I didn't flounder. I, you know, worked with the best and learned from the best. And then quickly realized I want to do more than admin, even though I was rocking that, and then wanted to be a buyer agent. So I became a buyer agent on their team and then grew the first few years on their team.
When was that? What year was that?
I graduated in 2002. So I got licensed in 2001, worked for them part-time and then full-time in 2002. And I went through that great team and relationship for a couple years until I realized I wanted to branch off and build my own team. So I was a buyer agent only on their team. You know, and I was low man on the totem pole. I got all the $100,000, $200,000 leads, which I was thrilled with for the time because it was a great education and learned to work all kinds of clients, demographics, price ranges, and anything I was given, I just made sure I hustled and tried to close. So that was a couple years until 2004.
So I'm fond of saying that without mentorship, you never get leadership. And I'm guessing that you learned something in that first round working under those successful people. What was the one thing you took away from that that changed the trajectory of your life?
That's a great question. I really took away two things. Number one was Bob Andrews was amazing at preparing for a listing presentation, studying those comparables, being the neighborhood expert no matter where that house was. And then I would watch him often in appointments and just seeing and learning from one of the best. There's no better education. And then Carrie Andrews, his wife, knew every model in the neighborhoods that they farmed. And I really realized and understood how important that was, that people know you don't know what you're talking about. You really can't fake that. So if you know your stuff, then you have such a better chance at conversion and impressing the client. So those are the two things I learned from them more than anything.
The success that you've had is nothing short of meteoric. The numbers are absolutely astounding. And from my understanding, a big portion of the closings come from repeat referral, sphere of influence, I mean, which is the foundation for so many of our businesses. Mm-hmm. What are you doing to get so many people either sending you clients, doing business with you again, or referring you?
I'm so grateful that the team I joined happened to be with Keller Williams because they folded me in right away. And going to, you know, mega camps and family reunions and learning not just from them, but Keller Williams and Gary and Dave back in the day and learning how important the 33 touch was. So I really just honed in on that when I broke off and joined my own team in 2004. I understood leverage and I hired my first part-time assistant, even though I was broke and didn't have much money to do so, and just quickly put together a 33 touch plan that we followed, even though we didn't have much money, you know, Xeroxing news articles and sending them out to our clients, doing little pumpkin giveaways, the most basic 33 touch you could imagine. But I was consistent. And I always believe that I want them to ask me questions about real estate. So if they're not talking to me, they're talking to someone else. And I really tried to consistently market to them, which we did, even if it was a little bit cheap or inexpensive. But more importantly, I believe we kept the door open for any conversation, real estate, renting, investing, buying, selling. And I would go 2 hours to list a $100,000 condo, if that's what the business was, while trying to get, you know, some higher end things. And I think just creating an environment of we will take any and rock it and impress them because we know there's so much future business there. And of course, the law of reciprocity, just treat people how you want to be treated and do the right thing, came back to us tenfold by consistently following that great Keller Williams model and treating people well.
I love that. Friends, we are going to unpack the whole 33 touch idea and we're going to talk about what it looks like today. Now, I know a bunch of you are driving the Range Rovers and the Teslas. You're going 90 miles an hour. You're trying to use dry erase markers on your windshield. Don't worry about it. You do not have to take notes. I have the pen in hand. I am going to take the notes. We send them out every Thursday. So if you want to get the notes from this episode, go to mreanotes.com and we will email them to you as a PDF. Jennifer, unpack and teach me how to make the most powerful 33 touch program.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what we do today, which is certainly not what we did 10 and 20 years ago. But today we record a monthly video newsletter that I do personally. And I always record it in the first shot, which just works for me. Again, I don't overthink it that way. Prepare, record it, and it's, you know, professionally edited and done. And I just send that out to my database along with our e-newsletter once a month. It's pretty basic.
Every now and then I'm going to hold up my hand to stop you so we can get details. Walk me through the content of this monthly video newsletter. Number one, on average, how long is it?
It is on average, the video is 2 minutes or less.
Okay. And in these 2 minutes, what's important?
What I think is important, and I believe my clients do, is a very quick market update, not too technical. Seller's market, buyer's market. I talk about the increase in inventory we're seeing recently in my most recent one. I do share successes that we're seeing across the board, the multiple offers we got throughout the DMV, and how we've helped certain clients in unique situations. So I do kind of half of it's a market update and some wins. And then the other half, I usually thank my clients for the last event that we did. And I'm just reminding them of the next events. We do monthly seller seminars, which I can touch on in a moment. We do pretty religiously a quarterly event and have micro events and then huge client events a couple times a year. So it's usually always reminding them what the next event did as one of the five touches around that event and just reiterating what our team's doing and assuming that's the only way they're getting information. Though, of course, we're emailing and snail mailing other information. It's kind of a condensed version of what's happening with Jennifer Young Homes.
Perfect. Friends, I promise we're going to unpack events in a minute, but we're going to go sequential. So I got the monthly video newsletter, 2 minutes or less, market update, great things that are happening, talk about the events we did, talk about the events that are coming up. What's next?
What's next is there's always another 1 to 2 email with video from me almost all the time inviting them to the event. So that's another touch. We always try to follow the model of 5 touches around the event, an email invite with a video from me, a print invite, personal touches from the agents or the team. So usually 1 to 2 times a month, there's another email invite with a video from me inviting them to the event or recapping the last one. And then I'll do periodic updates about a Renovate Now, Pay Later program or anything maybe we've rolled out or had success on. Beyond that, we do quarterly print newsletters. I don't remember how big our database is now. I think it's close to 8,000 or 9,000 that we're mailing to. And we're doing the print quarterly newsletters pretty consistently as well.
How many pages is this?
4 pages, but really, you know, like a book front and back. So front cover, back cover, fold it and mail it.
And what are you covering?
We are covering, again, the market recap. Usually, for the sake of time, I'm using that month's market recap in a video I did to just be that mail newsletter to be efficient. So I'm doing a market update there, reminding them again about our upcoming events in writing. I then touch on coming soon, recently sold successes to market our clients' homes more and also share with our team. We're still selling a lot of homes, usually a lender corner, an interest rate or market or economic update. There, introducing a rollout or success of our programs, perhaps, usually a charity or community quarter as well, about what we're giving to, why, successes from that, or pictures at a maybe a charity drive we did to try to make it information-based from real estate, but also a little bit fun and community-based as well.
I love that. And that's going to be printed high gloss color, like that's going to look the part?
Correct. Not high gloss, but color. And from a printer, we don't do that in-house. Yes. So it looks professional.
And on your lender corner, are they partnering with you financially to make that feasible? Or are you featuring a certain lender?
Great question. They are, maybe not specifically for that newsletter, but in other ways, monthly or event-wise, yes, they get featured and talk about rate fluctuations or maybe a new grant program that's rolled out.
Love that. I got the monthly video newsletter. I got the 1 or 2 emails that are featuring you on different topics. I have the quarterly print newsletter. What's next?
Phone calls. I mean, that's the one thing I think we lack a little bit. We need to ramp up. We are behind in our quarterly care calls for Sphere clients, but that is in our plan. And we try to get to that. Some years we're successful. Some years we're a little bit behind, but that's an additional touch is quarterly calls that we try to do.
I'm jumping in because if you weren't listening to it, you may miss it. Did you hear what she said? And we need to do a better job of that. Now, she's talking about contacting in a TCPA-friendly and compliant way her customers by phone, doing once a quarter. But here's what I wanted you to hear. It isn't that she's not doing a great job of it. It isn't a lecture on how you should, although you should. It's a discussion about the humbleness of success. Because by every objective measure, Jennifer Young and her team are wildly successful. I mean, you're talking north of $250 million in volume. They are crushing it. And yet, completely sober-eyed, she's able to say, and we need to do a better job of that. Here's my question. What do you and your organization need to do a better job of? And are you willing to say it as humbly as she is? Because here's what I believe. Recognizing what needs to be fixed is the first step to fixing it. So I got the newsletter, I got the emails, I got the quarterly print newsletter, and then I have the quarterly personal touch calls / text messages. Anything else other than the events?
That's really it for our core people. We also have a raving fan group. I learned from my friend Sarah Reynolds that we have a separate touch program for, but those people also get our normal 33 touch. They just get additional items of value plus special invites to events that are completely separate.
Walk me through on the raving fan group. And you've heard this, by the way, from some of the other folks that we've talked to. What do they get in addition to?
Yeah. So the raving fans, of course, are those that have referred us. They could have never worked with us before, but we are rewarding the good behavior of the referral. And they are on a bi-monthly plan. Well, they'll get items of value, usually engraved by us, so we can deduct it in taxes because it's marketing. A grill set, you know, in the summer, towels for beach in the summer, things like that. New Year's kit to celebrate New Year's in December, Halloween, things like that to make it easy for them and their families to celebrate the upcoming holidays is usually what we do to try to make it fun. Next week, we're having 50 of our best raving fans to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, which is going to be expensive, but we really want to love on them. And it's worth, $7,000-ish it's going to cost because these are raving fans who constantly give us referrals. So each time we get a referral, we personally thank them. I try to call. I think I call almost everyone and personally thank them. My assistant sends a handwritten card with a $25 Amazon gift card. So we're getting something of value in the mail, introducing them to being on the raving fan list, and then they get put in the system for the bi-monthly raving fan gifts.
It's fantastic. Okay, I got it. Monthly video newsletter, 1 to 2 additional emails, quarterly print newsletter, quarterly phone calls and text messages. And then if I'm in the raving fan group, I'm going to be getting kind of surprise and delight every couple of months, whether that's a grill set or towels or a special package on Halloween or the New Year's set, I'm going to feel loved on.
That's the goal.
And in some cases, I'm going to be eating at Ruth Chris on a 700 degree plate.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, let's unpack events. I have them in four buckets: seminars, quarterly events, annual events, and then micro events. Walk me through seminars.
So we do monthly seller seminars that we started back in 2018, I believe it was. And we used to do them in person. When COVID hit, obviously it went virtual. And I haven't got back in person, though that's my goal, because they were better attended in person and we booked more listing appointments in person. But it works for leverage in my life right now. So we, again, do five touches around that. We do radio ads for it with our radio talent. We include it in our e-newsletter. We reach out to every person who had previously attended a seller seminar but didn't sell with us. Plus, we have a category for long-term seller leads and personally invite them as well. We also do patch and some local community invites too.
And what is a monthly seller seminar?
It's how to prepare your home to sell. And in fact, we try to focus on the demographic of downsizers. So we call it our downsizing seller seminar. You and others share with us, I think it was last MegaCamp, the number of baby boomers retiring. And I was like, yes, I'm seeing that. And we have an amazing white glove service within our listing and customer service department. So really play up. We can handle everything from junk legger removal, renovate now, pay later. We'll front the repairs, clients pay at closing, estate sales staging, all that we do. And just walk them through how to prepare your home for sale and the best return on investment. And what it really is a listing presentation summarized, and you know, you're doing it to 10 or 20 or 30 people versus one person at a time. And I have had, knocking on wood now, great success. Every seminar has led to a listing appointment or more, but more importantly, it's feeding our database for long-term sellers.
So when you log into that thing and you see that you have 13 people there, is your immediate reaction, that's not enough people, or are you thrilled to be talking to 13 potential sellers?
I'm thrilled anytime I talk to more than one seller, actually. I always try to stay positive, but I used to have 30-ish people in person. So yes, when we have the 15 to, you know, ish numbers, it feels like a smaller group, but that's okay. Because again, it works for my life. So the goal is really 20 to 30.
And how long is the seminar?
1 hour. And then I always tell people I'll stay on afterwards for questions and answers. And I always do. And that's when we have a lot of good one-on-one conversations and hopefully booking an appointment.
I think that's genius. Sue Adler, by the way, and you haven't heard from Sue yet, but she has a model around that also. It makes all the sense in the world to me, Jennifer, that if I'm going to talk to sellers,
yes,
teaching is so much better than telling.
Yes, exactly right. And I do get pretty good feedback. It was educational. And that's when I feel like it's a win. If I can educate the consumer and be a source of information as the expert, then I have such a great chance of getting an opportunity to be with them. And you're right. I learned this from Sue. I just didn't implement it as consistently. And I know she is the queen of seller seminars for sure and does them at a very high level.
And then I get into these quarterly events. What's a quarterly event?
And I actually describe that a little bit differently. Quarterly events are actually synonymous with micro events. So we really have two of our huge events each year, which are big kind of what we built our business on. We have a crab feast during the summer, about 500 to 600 people there. And then we have a casino night in the fall. And, you know, I just like sports, some drinks once in a while and eating crabs. So we just try to make it fun because our clients have fun and it seems like it's more engaging and personal. So we have a huge crab event. It is quite expensive, but try to get thousands of dollars of sponsorship to offset that. It's all you can eat crabs, all you can drink with a designated driver, fun giveaways, live music, and people just love it. We have had people come over the years. And what I'm so surprised about is every event, people not only come and say hi and they get that belly to belly, they bring someone that's going to sell and they even say they have to talk to you soon. So I brought them to meet you. And that is the best because I'm developing relationships and adding people to our database. Everyone's, of course, checked in, logged in, added to our database. They get thank yous afterwards, et cetera. Our events have been very successful. And then we try to personally reach out and touch in addition to the e-newsletter touches, print invites going out next week for this crab event. So really try to have five touches of the 33 touch program around each of our big two kind of flagship events and then video it and share it on social later.
Okay, so that's the crab event.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the casino event. What's that?
We rent Vegas Times. We have full real life casino people. They just play for tickets, which then translate to really cool gifts. We'll have about $5,000 worth of gifts. And then same idea. This one's more formal. We have Vegas showgirls come. We have you know, like 20 tables, drinks, eating, fun, awesome DJ, dancing. And my clients are just so fun. And I just love that we've kind of, I think, fostered an environment of just let's have fun together and not talk about real estate unless you want to. We have magicians. We just try to make it fun. So the crab feast is family oriented. The casino night is more date night or partying. And our clients seem to love all that. So.
And then you told me it's not just about the event. It's how you bring social media in after the event. What did you mean by that?
Yes, I meant that we just advertise what we did. We want people to feel like they're missing out if they're not part of our club, you know? And so we're just sharing how much fun we had. And of course, thanking our sponsors on social media. We always have a professional photographer and videographer there so that we can send our clients the professional photos of them, which we always do. We do that via email. And then we're just posting on social so the world can see that our clients and team have fun. We want you to be a part of this type of thing. We want them to kind of have fear of missing out.
This makes all the sense in the world to me. I'll be honest, as I think about the 33 Touch program that you're running, it isn't that you sat down and came up with 33 unique touches that nobody else is doing.
Correct.
It sounds like, though, you're wildly purposeful about the ones that you do, they happen consistently, and when you throw a party, you throw a party.
We do. It's fun. And it's very well recognized. And we have so many people come and, again, bring potential clients, which I think is a definition of success. It's super fun. It's a big party. Yes.
How many people will you get to these big annual events?
So the Crab Feast, again, will be 500 to 600. That's our biggest event. Casino Night's between 3 and 350, typically. You always have about 100 people more RSVP that don't end up showing, we've realized over the years. So we budget for that. But it, to us, would not be successful if less than 300 people come. But consistently, it's 300 to 600, depending on the event and the year.
You're also in one of the most competitive real estate markets in the United States.
We are.
What are you doing to help your clients stand out?
Well, what I wanted to touch on is more how do we get client opportunities? Because I think that differentiates us from most realtors. And I think that might be helpful to some that are listening. So DC, as you know, is ultra competitive. Not that the rest of the country is not, but in DC, if you don't get back to someone in 20 minutes, they're saying, why are you taking so long? So we have really kind of mastered speed to lead, we believe. And we are just trying to get on any opportunity immediately, phone call, text, email. We have Answer Connect do 24-hour service when we can't answer the phone. We use Ready Chat on our website to chat with people when we're maybe sleeping, et cetera. So we are big on speed to lead. And then we really just try to wow them from the beginning when we have an opportunity and answer their questions. And then once we have an opportunity with someone, we send, of course, a confirmation email with kind of a pre-list video. We actually stopped pre-list packages and we might be going back to that. But we always tell them we call to confirm 10 a.m. the morning of. We do what we say we're going to do on the phone. We really push in our seminars and on our consultation calls to book the appointment that we are going to give you three different scenarios as is, and then what you'll net from that strategy, partial repaired and fully repaired. And I'm so surprised how few realtors don't leave net sheets, don't give them the options. And that's what we talk about again in the seminars and just try to educate them, you know, use our information for free, no obligation, but we usually impress them enough to continue the conversation. So when they get from us from an appointment, they're getting a full list of what the best ROI would be, those three different scenarios with a net sheet. And then being around DC, I have found success and then following up, like I'm following up, giving a government proposal, if you will. We do a very detailed, comprehensive follow-up with the net sheet, again, typed up, the different plan of action, a whole paragraph on what as is means and partial repaired and full repaired. And then we'll immediately set up contractors. We'll review the estimate and discuss ROI with them again and just try to be so consultative and really go in the direction they want to that I'm, again, acting like we're competing to win this big contract, and it is a big contract. And that's how I think we've differentiated ourselves. We also always send a follow-up handwritten note with a gift card thanking them for the opportunity, whether we get it or not. And I'm so surprised we have not gotten listings before, which is painful, but they've referred us people. And I think it's because we've exited gracefully. We've done all this follow-up and did what we said we're going to do. And that's been quite surprising by following a pretty tight system. We've impressed some that might still want to use their friend, their brother that's a realtor, but we're getting other opportunities from them because we've been the consummate professional.
That's the thing. You're running like a highly professional business, but all the touches you do make everybody feel like family.
Yes.
So you're winning in both of these categories, intellectually and then emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, I think we are too.
It's really smart. I love it. Friends, this is an absolute no-brainer. Jennifer, come join us in the lightning round. We want to ask you a series of questions. We want the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
What's your favorite color?
Purple.
What is your favorite food?
Lobster.
Stop the lightning round. It's so good.
It's so good, isn't it? I like the East Coast lobster the best. Caribbean's okay, but all lobster is amazing, right?
I literally had the lobster conversation 2 hours ago in another lightning round. So it's the hot one of the day. It is so good.
Yes.
What's your favorite movie?
I think Legend of the Fall, because Brad Pitt was my crush back in the day.
Is that the one where he's fishing?
No, that's a different one. Legend of the Fall is different. You'll have to watch that one.
All right, friends. Legends of the Fall, you heard it here. Is there a book other than MREA and The One Thing? Is there a book that you think everybody out there should read?
Yes, Psychology of Money. It was given to me by Matt's coach and love it. And I've reread that many times. I thought it was fascinating.
It's a great book. Is there a podcast other than this one that you like to listen to?
I do love this one, Empire Builders. I love that strong, successful businesswomen who I've always admired do it. I think it's fantastic. And man or woman can learn a lot from that podcast.
By the way, it's one of my favorites. And if you're out there and you haven't listened to Kimber Minkiti's episode of this show or Sarah Reynolds or Tiffany Fikes, jump on in. The water is fine. They are fantastic.
They are.
Where is the best vacation spot?
I love Nosara, Costa Rica with my boys. We try to go there once or twice a year, and it's how I can decompress and chill and still be connected once in a while if I want to be. That's our favorite spot.
I love it. Jennifer, thank you for sharing with us so openly, and thank you for everything you're doing for the industry and for so many people around the DC metro area. We are grateful.
Thanks. Right back at you, Jason. Thanks for what you do.
I told you were going to be exhausted. I'm exhausted. I was exhausted after having the discussion. And I sat there and I was just like perspiring and I was writing as fast as I could. And you know what my aha is? None of these are complex models. As a matter of fact, it's a wildly simplistic business. And it's based on number one, being a professional. Number two, making sure that she's coming across in videos as often as she can. Number three, owning that quarterly newsletter and the message that comes around with it. Number four, have the events and give gifts to everybody that refers. It is one of the simplest plays in real estate, but here's what you didn't hear. It only works because Jennifer and her team are operationally excellent. And here's what I mean by that. We've unpacked over this journey together for the last 40 some odd episodes. We've talked to everybody who will tell you, here's the model I run. And by the way, they all fit on a page, maybe two. It isn't about what they do. That's why everyone that's on this show is willing to give you their play. It's about how you do it that matters. It's about operational excellence. That's the thing that stays when everything else goes. Let's be honest, friends. Real estate agents on teams, they're probably going to come and go. Leads are going to come and go. Markets are going to come and go. Fads are going to come and go. Technology pieces are going to come and go. You know what stays forever? The models, the systems, and the operational excellence around implementing them. That's what I believe. Go forth and do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think, so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders, but it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to the MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any Do Not Call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.